recently on the Mayo Football Podcast. We drop into this feed every so often to give you some highlights and the odd free show, as you've seen over the last month or two. But this one is back to the old format of us picking out some bits that'll make you go, you know what, patreon.com/Mayo Podcast. I might just look that up and sign up because it sounds like great value. I'm Rob Murphy on the show to help us along with these clips. John Gunnigan.
Hey, Rob, how you doing? Yeah, it's been a while since we've had one of these ones, as you said. But we have been kind of busy, haven't we? You know, between between New York and a constant stream of matches as well, because we're in that time of year as well that there isn't really any time to pause for breath. So we've had, you know, the match on Sunday. The under-20s are out tomorrow night, would you believe it, in that Finnan McGuinness game, and of course the under-17s on Friday night, and it's just on it goes. But we've just decided to stop and pause and just take a few segments from a few shows to give people a flavour of the ongoing stream of podcasts that our club members are enjoying at the moment.
I completely concur with this idea. I think it's the right thing to be doing right now for our listeners. But some of our listeners on patreon.com are also listening to this as well. So you may think to yourself, wait, hang on, I've already signed up. But what we know, we've put out so much audio in the last few weeks, they might have missed one or two clips. This might get them to go back over a pod and go, my God, I might listen to that one as well. We're going to take it in order, starting with the Miners, who were beginning their championship last week. And we got a first look at a new generation coming through of under 17 footballers. When I say we, yourself and Mike, John.
Yeah, that's right, Rob. And if we could broaden out maybe in terms of the show, what we were chatting about earlier on, I was saying we have a beginning, an end, and a work in progress, if you like. And as you said, the Miners was the beginning one. And the show was from a few weeks back. It was a final whistle show, and in fact, all of the clips that we're going to showcase tonight come from Final Whistle pods. And I guess the reason for that is that, well, you've heard, most people will have heard the New York show, and we did put out the Final Whistle New York show as a free pod. But the preview shows don't really, they're no good after the fact, if you like, you know, because there's no point reviewing what we think might happen when we know what's going to happen. So it's much better to stick to the facts, if you like. And we start with the Minor game against Roscommon. Martin Carney joined Mike and myself for that. And Martin's always a great guest because he's always so enthusiastic, and he loves underage football because obviously he was heavily involved in it, both as a coach, as a former Mayo manager, as a teacher and all the rest. So his enthusiasm shines through on this clip. And it's where he looks at the players who played well against Roscommon, and he just shows, you know, who's where on the team. So just that, for people who don't know much about the Mayo Miners, this is a really good introduction to that team.
It's all about the result, it's all about winning, and tonight we saw a Mayo team that were extremely well coached, that were marvellous in terms of attacking the ball, that were wonderful when they were out of the ball in dispossessing Roscommon players and making life very difficult for Roscommon players. And then, like in any team, you need an orchestrator, you need somebody who's going to actually maybe pull the strings for others around them. And Mayo, with that tonight, I think Mayo had it in Kobe McDonnell. I thought he'd an outstanding give an outstanding display of centre or forward, even though from an early stage he was man-marked very carefully and very closely by Declan Kennedy. But it would be wrong in many respects just to say it was a one-man team. I thought, for example, that centre-back Mark Noonan was, you know, wonderful. His tackling, his attacking of the ball was top class. David Hurley was very good. Dylan Flynn is a huge amount of ability, I think, at number 12. But overall, the teamwork that they had, their ability, many times we mentioned Dahi Butler, many times we mentioned his tackling in the corner. I thought he was one of these gritty, horrible little cornerbacks that you just don't want to come up against when you're playing football. Because every time his man got the ball, I think Derek Corney was marking tonight, it must have been like hell, kind of, you know, the jaws of hell opening up. He was great. And alongside him, again, we're talking guys who aren't senior footballers, who are not coming from senior team or from clubs, senior clubs. You're talking about an Eastern Gales lad, Tom Heshen, who management kind of saw fit to make captain of the team. I love seeing that. And he again set a great example in the way he played. The only one little gripe I'd have about them is that maybe they did give away some unnecessary frees, but they have a huge amount to work on. They have an awful lot of raw ability, and that was a great start to the season.
I had to laugh over what Martin was saying. He described, I can't remember which one of the lads it was, but he described him as a horrible, gritty cornerback. And that was actually a compliment, you know? So I hope it's taken in that vein. And I would point out to any of our younger listeners that people should know that Martin Kearney was an excellent forward and played in the forwards and won, you know, provincial honours in both Ulster and in Connacht as a forward. But he also, for one season and one season only, was a horrible, gritty cornerback. In 1985, he was converted by Liam O'Neill to cornerback. He held on the number two jersey all that summer. And I tell you, he was something else. He was such a revelation in that position. So, yeah, so Martin, not only he speaks from experience in terms of a coach and all the rest, but he speaks from experience at the coalface as well.
We'll keep referencing that every time someone's complaining about some Mayo senior that's been moved out of position, which virtually never happens, be it the movement or the complaints. But enough of that. Next clip on the list, there's a couple of clips really coming from Mayo's under 20 clash with Sligo. We want to take it both sides of the fence here, but we wanted to start with just the reality check that this fixture was. It was myself and Mike that were on duty at that one. Mm-hmm. And let's have a listen to, I put it to Mike that, you know, there are no complaints here. And Mike kind of just laid it all out for everyone, the reality of Mayo exiting another under 20 championship without a title.
No, Mayo got exactly what they deserved tonight, Rob. And that was, in the end, a 5-point beating after a 9-point swing. They go from 4 up at half time to losing by 5, and kind of absolutely no complaints. Look, in a nutshell, Sligo were outstanding in the second half, outscored Mayo 11-2. Mayo just completely lost their way all over the field. Sligo got a run on them, and Sligo showed just why they've won the last 2 Connacht under 20 championships. 10 of the team that started the All-Ireland final last year against Kildare started tonight, and I thought in the second half they brought all that experience to bear. Before we get in to talk about the game itself, I was just looking at the statistics, which obviously are fairly sobering. You take this year's under 20 championship, Mayo beaten by Sligo and Leitrim, failed to beat Roscommon in round 1, drew with the Rossies, and now that win over Galway just looks like a hollow victory, really. I can only imagine how Pather Gardner and the selectors feel tonight, because I know how much work they've put in. I know how high their hopes were for this group this year, but they have ended up ultimately going the way of most Mayo under 21/under 20 squads since 2010, and that is they have bowed out of the championship without making really much of an impression. And that stat we spoke about, was it last week, Rob? 2 Connacht under 21/under 20 titles for Mayo since 2009. 2016, of course, when they went on to win the All-Ireland, and 2018 as well, when they went on to lose the All-Ireland final. But apart from those 2 years, really.
That's 2 and 15.
2 and 15, yeah. There's something wrong when a county of Mayo's history and tradition and pedigree are failing, you know, year after year after year. And look, we're going to have plenty of time now to talk about it.
Yeah, and that's such a good clip, Rob, because, you know, normally we showcase, you know, what our guests have to say, and we're doing that on this pod as well. But I thought Mike just set it out in the plainest of terms there. And it is quite a stark record, of course. And Mike wasn't pulling any punches. In the final whistle pods, you know, which was recorded literally moments after that game had finished, and after our under 20 championship campaign had effectively ended. It's a very disappointing record. You can't really put any gloss on it. 2 provincial titles in what is it, 15 years? Like that's serious underperformance. And you know, I think there were such high hopes for the current management team, and so far, you know, you'd have to say they haven't delivered. So yeah, so that was disappointing, and that obviously shines through in the next clip we have, which was you, Rob, speaking with Paddy Gardner, and you put that point straight to him that people are going to be saying, like, this isn't good enough, you know, and here's what he had to say about that.
Paddy, there's going to be a lot of people just saying about where Mayo are, you know, the statistics about two Connacht under 20 titles in over 10 years or whatever. These nights do make people kind of question what's happening behind the scenes and why Mayo are outside the top three in Connacht.
Yeah, I suppose, look, tonight's result, we have work to do. Do you know, they're bigger and stronger than us tonight, and we've a lot of work to do. No, but they're, in saying that, we've done a lot of good work at Mayo. You know, credit to Sean Dean and his team. They won two minor championships, you know, in a row. So there is quality players coming. These are really quality players, but we have more work to do. And our academies are doing unbelievable work. You know, our minor team at the moment are very strong. And these lads will come. You know, we've, you know, I think 8 or 9 of these lads are underage again next year. You know, so, you know, I'm not sure the age profile is Sligo, but they seemed bigger and stronger than us. You know, and a year is a long time at this grade in development. But yeah, there'll be questions asked, but I can assure you, every stone, there's no stone left unturned in the development of these players from lots of different groups and lots of academies, and it will come. It'll take time, it will come, and there's great work being done in the schools as well, great work with the clubs, great work by the academies, you know, so it will come. But look, we need to find a way to get some victories at under 20 level, because we haven't had them for a while.
The voice of Paddy Gardner there, just maybe 25 minutes to a half an hour after Mayo's shock exit of the Connacht Championship. But like I say, that in terms of overall, it's a shock that they haven't made the top three. Losing to Sligo last Wednesday, as we record this, wasn't in itself a shock, because Sligo have established themselves as the kind of force that Mayo were. When you're going into a game like that at 50-50, maybe slightly edging it just on tradition in terms of the bookies. So in that regard, yeah, there was two things happening there. There was a beaten by a better team in the second half, and Mayo had been in total control. But there was also, just look back at a campaign where each game had patches of good and patches of bad, and ultimately the results were just not there. Mayo belong where they are, which is outside the top three. In that sense, it's a very close championship, though. A little bit of luck either way, and who knows what would have happened had they taken that goal chance against Roscommon. You know, and that's one of the issues we hear, John, before we hear the other side. We've said this before on this podcast, because we're a one county podcast. Everyone else is trying to win too. Everyone else is trying to come up with ways of creating chances. Everyone else gets different bits of luck either way, here and there. Had Mayo got through this and gone into the semi-finals, no one necessarily would have been talking about a crisis in underage football in Mayo.
Yeah, I mean, it's so true. And, you know, I don't think it's to downplay the disappointment, or if you like, the ultimate underperformance. But when Finbar McLaughlin booted that ball over the bar after the goal chance, and we were 4 points up, we were top of the group at that stage. And if we had held on to win, we would have finished top of the group and would have qualified directly for the final. But yet we end up not in first, but in last in the group. That's how tight it was. So I guess, and in fairness, like, I don't think Pather even proffered that as an excuse in what he had to say. I mean, he probably said it was a tight group or whatever, but it was an extremely tight group. And if there's any comfort to be taken from it, I think that's it. Now, obviously, you're out, and in a Connacht Championship, you would expect us to progress, and you'd certainly expect us to be in the top three. But it was a group of extremely fine margins.
Yeah, and there's two things at play here. I think with underage football, you having watched plenty of it, you want to see players develop, and you'd like to see titles and results over the course of time. You'd like to see it even out better than it has in terms of 2 from 15, that's for sure. But at the same time, you don't just solely judge it on that. And I would be aware of how good the other teams were from watching three of Mayo's four games, and kind of feeling that it's somewhat just a bit of bad luck in there. But what really concerns me is how the Mayo teams just caved in on themselves a little bit. These young players who are developing, but as a group, and I've said it in the podcast and I'll just say it again on this podcast, that's what's concerning, how they can go from free-flowing brilliance of the first half against Roscommon, where I think they hit three goals and they were sensational, to to barely having an attack in the second half of that game. And then you take the same against Sligo, this sense that if, you know, they left 2-4, maybe 2-5 behind them in that first half. But during the second half, when things were going wrong, their inability to start to figure it out. And then you think of the brilliance against Galway. So that Jekyll and Hyde element has me quite concerned. And I think that will be something that the management will be focusing on. Just a one final point before we hear from Sligo. And I'll go to you then. But like, so one final point for me, first of all, which is, don't forget, they're actually in the B Championship now. I've seen the semi-finals as well. Now, how they deal with this, I don't know, because Leitrim are going to go hammer and tongs for it. And if the Mayo management team, as we record this, are right, they'll probably rotate the squad a little bit. Having said that, if this group could go and win that, that's what they should do to right the wrongs of what's gone so far and to stay together and stay developing and stay learning. So I wish them well in that, and I hope they do, but you'll have listeners will know how they've got on by the time we recorded this. John?
Yeah, no, it's so true. I mean, they've Leitrim tomorrow evening, and then if they win that, they're into an All-Ireland series, a B series, if you like. So potentially two further games from that, and potentially a B national title. But, you know, I'm always in two minds about underage success. I think it's good to win All-Irelands, you know, on a fairly regular basis, if you could, you know. So like, and if you look at 2006, we got a massive crop of players from that. 2016, we got another crop. And then we got to the final of the first under-20 championship in 2018. And from that, we got Ryan O'Donoghue, Tommy Conroy, and Jordan Flynn. Now, you contrast that with the team that won that All-Ireland. That was Kildare, who have since won a second under-20 All-Ireland. And where are they now? You know, 7 games out of 7 lost in Division 2. And only for the grace of God and the fact that they're in the other half of the Leinster draw to Dublin, racing certainties to be in the Thaljan Cup. So, you know, success at underage level isn't everything. And if you say, well, okay, Lee Keegan, Andy Moran, Footballers of the Year, did they have success at underage level? No, they did not. You know, however, a lot of the other lads did. So I think some success is good. But, you know, the important thing is that you bring through players at senior level. And I guess if you go too many years without success, particularly at provincial level, eventually that's going to come through when at senior level you're squaring up against guys who are not afraid of you. They've beaten, why? Because they've beaten you. They've beaten you at minor, they've beaten you at under 20. And I guess that's the real concern. I think there has to be some success, but not success as an end in itself at underage level.
I agree. But of course, I think you'll agree that it depends on the county. So that's for counties.
Or for sure, yeah. I mean, this for Sligo.
Or just get to Sligo. Yeah. Like Sligo success. Yeah. And I think there was a bit of pressure on the next voice we hear, Paul Henry, going into this match. Like, just a little bit. Obviously, he had a lot of kudos in the bank and would have been okay in that regard going into next season. But I mean, for him, with the group being seemingly stronger, having so many of them back from the previous year that lost in All-Ireland final, won a Connacht title for the second in a row, to have gone out before the semi-final from their perspective would have been, you know, a real disappointment. So he was relieved, but really proud of his side and their second half performance. And as always, we do try to capture that other side of defence, because we know you guys might be all vested in Mayo as much as we are, but we are aware that this all happens not in a vacuum, but with all the other teams around us trying to do what they're trying to do, and you can learn from them, and you can learn a lot from what's happening in Sligo. Paul, second time in 2 years the Mayo podcast having chat to you after one of your Sligo teams have performed superbly against Mayo and deserved their victory again. You must be so proud of your troop.
Yeah, delighted with the lads. I suppose look at half time, I suppose we went in and we had to do a bit of soul searching, because really in the first half I don't think we were good enough, and Mayo probably deserved to be further ahead, in fairness to them. So they put in a great first half performance, but I suppose look at, we put it to these lads that they're champions for a reason, and the football is in them, and it's a case of they had a half an hour to bring it out in them. So thank God they ended up putting in a huge second half performance there, and we got over the line.
All right, enjoyed that on the under-20s. That's pretty much it for the year, although we keep an eye on how the Mayo team go in that other competition. I think they'll find it tough against Leitrim, to be honest. But we'll see. Leitrim have took a huge blow against Roscommon.
Yeah, and I think we'll keep an eye on Sligo as well, because I think everyone was genuinely wishing them really well last year. I mean, not only did they win Connacht, they went on to beat Kerry in the semi-final, which was superb. And the hope has to be that they'll go one better this year, because I think it really would be good for football, for Connacht, And obviously for Sligo, if they could go and do that, you know, I mean, Connacht is competitive, and if it became a four cornered one, you know, we could be up there putting it up to Ulster.
Okay, onwards. But before we completely close off the underage stuff, there was plenty of other podcasts last week, one of which talking about Mayo and Roscommon in the senior championship, but we took some time with Billy Joe Patton to look at the development of a star like Kobe MacDonald, who you will have heard Martin Carney mentioning and highlighting, because he was the man of the match, if you like, in that minor game and the star of the show. A lot of excitement around them. And Billy Joe Patton was brilliant on that. We're not going to share a clip on that, because we're going to say sign up, because it's a much bigger conversation than taking a soundbite from. And it was a fascinating conversation with a person probably better placed than anyone in the county to talk about expectations on you as a footballer based on your lineage. And Billy Joe was really, really strong on that, and provided us great insight on what to look for, what to expect, and why he has a lot of confidence that, you know, a lot of the challenges that we all think Kobe's going to face are going to be challenges that he'd be well equipped for. But it's really interesting insight from Billy Joe. So that's another reason to sign up to patreon.com/Mayo Podcast. Moving on. John, do you want to add anything there?
Yeah, no. And I think it's just evidence of the many different voices we have on the Mayo Football Podcast, and they can bring their own perspectives to it. I was fascinated by what Billy Joe had to say in that sense, because we obviously, when Willie Joe was in his pomp, we knew there was a kid called Billy Joe, and we're all wondering, well, is he going to be as good and all that, you know? But behind that, there's a real life human being who we all know and love at this stage, you know. So I love those personal insights you get, and of course, roll on to Hyde Park, and you and I, Rob, go up to the press box, and I don't know about you, but I had stars in my eyes, you know. We're going up to chew the fat with Colin Boyle and Lee Keegan. And two guys who know exactly what it's like to face the Rossies in the white heat of battle in Hyde Park. And I just thought, this is one of the best Final Whistle pods we've put together for a long time. And I was really hugely privileged to be part of it.
Yeah, what a combo. Straight after the game, this is what we bring you. As you know, we get those Final Whistle podcasts recorded and out as quickly as possible. Plenty of times well within the hour of the full-time whistle, thanks to our esteemed editor Keane McNicholas. But yeah, the two boys, two legends on the field, and two guys that people really do listen to when they talk Mayo football off the field. So let's hear from them after the 5-point victory over Roscommon in the Connacht semi-final. I was just wondering, first half, can we give Mayo a lot of credit for, even though they weren't winning a lot of ball in midfield, I think they kept going long because they didn't want to be using energy in the heat. Did we manage the heat better than they did?
They did, and funny enough, actually, we scored 1-3 over short kick. I do agree. I think that was a factor because it was so hot here today. But it definitely is an area of concern for me. I do think that Roscommon looked much hungrier and sharper.
I think we're a bit stuck to the ground or something on that. I said, the ball was breaking and boys just weren't getting in, contesting, and they're almost just waiting for someone else to do it. I think once we kind of got that out of our system in the second half, we looked an awful lot better. We were saying it before we came on, that this, like, Roscommon were pushing up on our kick out. The space in behind was absolutely unbelievable. Anytime we actually won the kick out, especially in that second half, like, it just looked like we were running into open country, and Matty Ruan's goal chance were... he was kind of half fouled. It probably wasn't enough to give a foul. You know, that comes from us just winning a ball, our own kick out, and we're straight in the Roscommon goal. But it was an interesting one.
EBS, the Mortgage Masters, are proud partners of the Mayo Football Podcast. So whether you're at home or abroad, EBS in Castlebar is your one-stop shop for advice and information on mortgages. You can find them online or call into the office on Market Street in Castlebar.
Yeah, so obviously, Rob, you were there asking them about the first half, you know, because, I mean, Mayo got a lot of criticism, I suppose, after the game, in that saying that, you know, our play was so laboured in that first half. But as you so rightly said on the terrace, when we were getting the heads baked off us, you know, that they could well be conserving energy in the heat. And I'm convinced, given the second half, that had to be part of the story. So it was interesting to see what the lads had to say about that. And then we followed it up. I had a question for the lads after that about our defending in the second half, because I thought it was very, very disciplined. And it was interesting, again, to hear what they had to say about that. But also, Colin Boyle had something very, very insightful to tell us about an incident that happened in the warm-up.
Lads, what did you think about our defending in the second half? Because we didn't concede a whole pile in terms of frees, and we just seemed to be working awful hard in the heat.
McBrien was getting back there.
Yeah, and they were forced to do the kind of over and back stuff that drives us nuts when we see our lads doing it.
Yeah, it was interesting. You mentioned McBrien there, obviously. He goes to midfield at half time and picks up into Smith. Duncan McHugh goes off. Just slightly going away from your question, John, I was actually watching the Mayo warm up literally in the last couple of minutes, and Duncan McHugh, they were playing a small side of a game. Duncan McHugh comes onto a ball and Pádraig O'Hara comes in and absolutely nails him with the shoulder.
McHugh
was down. He actually ends up going over to the bench with Sean Moffat, the Mayo doctor, and Martin McIntyre, and I thought he was gone. Actually, he came on and it looked like he had a dead leg or something from the hit. Tried to run it off the first half. I don't know, was it a tactical switch or was it something to do with that? But
I don't know if it was a tactical move from Pádraig O'Hara. I want my place, man. I think we worked really hard collectively. I think the one-on-one sometimes, it's another day. Like, all will get those chances in 2 weeks' time, and they hit point. They will get a lot of joy there.
Do you know, one of the things I realised is before the game, I need to leave. If Colin Boyle's ever around me, I just need to leave him alone to watch the warm-ups, because he picks everything up. And don't be interrupting him with nonsense stuff. Leave him alone, because there's something about it. His senses are honing in on stuff. He was very sharp in that, and it's become quite an interesting talking point. Love that.
Just the warm-ups, Rob. Come on. I mean, it's amazing. I'd love to talk about matches with Boyle, because you watch a match and you think, okay, I saw like A, B, and C or whatever. Then you realise, I actually just saw that really thin layer at the top. And he's stripping off layer after layer after layer, and the level of detail and the insights. And he's just, the insights and the analysis he does is absolutely top class.
In fairness to some of the contributors on the Mayo GA blog, I was reading through some of the posts the last day, and it's coming true from a lot of different angles nowadays. The way people watch football, it can be very, very different. You can nearly pick out the people who are posting on your blog who are coaching people in how to play the game now, and those who are watching it like you and I watch, which is very informed, of course, and we watch plenty of football and we know our football. By God, there are times when people are telling you, do you know, he was playing in kind of withdrawn role and then he was picking up the sweeper, and you're like, was he? Okay, when? It's a tough game to keep track of. And I watch a lot of rugby and people say, how do you keep up with that's so complicated? Trust me, folks, rugby compared to where football is today, much easier game to follow because it does have that structure that's still ingrained in it. Enough of that. Great to listen to, lads. There's so much more from them in that podcast. And it just gave that first take off the top. And it also gives that kind of, these lads are still, very much in tune with the players who are out in the field, having only just stopped in the last couple of years between the two of them. And I think you definitely get that impression that for them at the moment, they're on the fence with how good this Mayo team can be. That's the best way I can say it. They know there's a lot of, like most of us, they know there's a lot of ability there, but they're not sure. And that's what I'm picking up. And I think this Connacht final now that's coming up in 2 weeks' time is a real acid test, to use a cliche.
It is, yeah. But I guess as a supporter or as an observer, I think in the middle of a championship season, that's all you can do. And I think one of the things that annoys people about the Sunday game is that, they won't stick to the knitting and they won't just show lots of highlights and a small little bit of chat. Like they'll talk about championship structures and they'll talk about, moving the finals back to September. And absolute nonsense like this. So what we should, when the championship is on, you need to be talking about the games, not about the bigger picture. And I think that's what Lee and Colin are doing. They're just interested in how we're going to go. And I think we all are. For me, the biggest question now in the world is, can we win the Connacht title? That's it. Can we win the Leinster Cup? We haven't won it in a non-knockout since 2015. So that's kind of really interesting. And I'm with Kevin McStay when he says this is a huge game for them. They're a young team. A lot of this team haven't got Connacht medals. And it's an opportunity for them to do that. And then once that's done and dusted and it's put in a drawer, and then we'll think about the group stages. But we kind of take each chapter of this narrative of the summer as it comes along. And I think that's the only way to do it.
Yeah, Kevin probably is getting more media air for his call to arms for the fans. But I thought the most interesting thing he said was about, young players going after those titles. And I was writing about it on the blog the last day when I just suddenly realized that was Sam Callanan's first ever game for Mayo in the Connacht Championship, you know, and establishing a new order of things in Connacht would be nice, because we have this sense of where the order of things are. When's the last time a Connacht County finished our season in championship football? I think you have to go back to Sligo in 2000, you know, so we always think of ourselves as the elite force in the province. And more often than not, in the last 20 years, Mayo have lasted longer than anyone else, by quite a bit, actually. But none of that, that's all grand, but that's all statistics, trophies, titles, going to a final, winning it matter. But, you know, as my opinion overall is, I just think it's so critical to avoid the big guns in the knockout stages. Mayo now guaranteed to be out on the 18th to 19th of May as a provincial finalist. They're guaranteed to be at home in their first game against either a third seed if they win the provincial title, or a fourth seed if they lose it. And that's just down to giving themselves the favourable fixture draw if you're the champion. So could be anyone, could be Derry. Even if you win it, you could end up with Derry, and that'll be the tough side of things. But you give yourself a better chance if you win the title, because you're definitely avoiding Dublin and you're definitely avoiding Kerry. If Mayo were to lose the provincial final, very good chance you're going to be playing one of those sides at a neutral venue. The only interesting thing would be, can imagine playing Dublin in Dr. Hyde Park. That'd be fun. But that's not where Mayo want to be, John, because you could end up in a group with Dublin and Derry. So there's a good bit at stake. I don't know if they'll be kind of thinking about that in either dressing room, in fairness, with a Connacht title in front of them. But they'll be back at the minds of every single player. Listen, if we win this, this makes things easier for us. They know that.
Yeah, they will. But I guess in that sense, it's no different than in the old world, if you like. Because if you won the Connacht title, you were straight into the quarterfinal, whereas if you lost it, you were into the qualifiers. So there was a prize separate to the silverware, and there has been for the last over 20 years. So it's a different prize, I guess. But you're so right about the groups, because it just shows how unfinished this structure is, if you like, because the collapse in the Leinster Championship and the Munster Championship effectively means, and the fact that Connacht is strong and Ulster is strong, it just means that two of the groups are going to be easy by virtue of Leinster and Munster, and two groups are going to be very, very hard. And there's nothing we can do about that. That's just the way it is. So I think in terms of, you know, we can't game this, you know, would we be better off being third seed, you know, and throwing the game last Sunday? Well, was that going to happen? Of course it wasn't. Are we better off being first or second seed? Number one, all day long. So that gives us all, you know, the encouragement that we need to go out and try and win this Connacht title on Sunday week. And I'm no doubt the lads will be doing that. But it does show that the group stages, there's more work to be done. And if I could keep it in the family in terms of a good argument that was made on that, my own brother Louis had a really good guest piece on the blog a few weeks ago. Kind of went under the radar because we were all packing our bags getting ready for New York, but I'd encourage people to go back and read it, because he has he's a deep thinker on lots of things, and he went away and had to think about how could the group stages work better. And the way he comes up with it is that if you separate the link from the provincial championship, which is a big if, obviously, because the provinces won't want to do that. But if you put everything on the league and the top four seeds are the ones who finished 1, 2, 3, and 4 in Division 1, and then so on down the way, his argument is you're probably going to end up with the same 16 teams anyway, but crucially, you'll end up with them ordered in a better way. So the best teams will be the number one seeds. The next best teams will be number two, and so on. So you won't have a situation like we will have this year. Derry are the team everyone wants to avoid as a third seed. You know? So just really interesting, but I'd encourage anyone to go and read that piece. I think it's really very informative.
Yeah, and you could have a Clare or maybe a Kildare or Louth who might well have been well beaten in their provincial finals, higher ranked in the seeding. That doesn't make any sense. Staying in the lane, as you said, you'd like to see RT stay in the lane during the Sunday game. We all need to do that at different times.
Yeah, Jesus, Rob, they didn't stay in their lane on Sunday night. People are going apoplectic about that.
They actually apologised, I saw somewhere on
I don't watch the Sunday game anymore because it's just so rubbish. But, you know, I was just back. I wasn't long back in from Hyde Park. We actually got back at 9:30. So we said, come on, we'll stick it on because we wanted to see the hurling. And we're just watching. I said, yeah. And then the football was on. They said, they went to a break and they said, oh, this football's come from Connacht, whatever. And they said, yeah, they're going to show ours last, like trying to keep us right to the end. But when they came back from the ad break, they showed this ridiculous montage with violins and all the rest. And you just think, what on earth is that? And I still don't understand it, you know. And it's back to the thing. All people want to see are segments of the match and as little chat as possible. And that's it. And they just couldn't even do that simple thing. I despair.
100%. And just on that, like there was some great stuff on the blog about that. But also we spoke after the game the last day and one of the things that came up, you know, with this call to arms for fans to do the games, we were making a point that we know from Killarney last year, we know from a lot of our games that there's way less Mayo fans at games. We're not necessarily saying that's bad, and we're definitely not. And I just want to make this clear, saying anyone at home can be equally as good a fan. There are many reasons, and one of them could well be that just people are kind of tired of the football Mayo playing in recent times, and that's a bloody good reason maybe not to get in the car and drive to see this team. So some parts of those call to arms, I wonder about. I mean, I appreciate where he's coming from, and I want everyone to go to matches all the time, so I'm not really against it, but, you know, the team's got to deliver as well. And I think what I want to finish on is, you know, the best place to kind of get a good assessment of where Mayo fans are, I think at the moment, anywhere online, is Mayo GA blog. But another great place to get it is to stand on the terraces and just listen and chat to the people around you. And we certainly get that as well. And fans are skeptical about the way we're playing. I mean, I'll just give you two examples. Obviously, all season, Fergal Boland has been a talking point, as in, how could he not have been involved last year? Whatever about how Roscommon dealt with him. Eamon Fitzmaurice was saying the last day Dave Murray picked him up, ran him around the pitch. It could be a problem for Fergal Boland, but no one is saying that he's a certain all-star. Everyone's saying he should have been in the squad. And the other one is Conor Loftus. Like, how he was played last year ultimately was just baffling to people who are watching the games. And then to watch him in an attacking role the last day is making people go, that's the Conor Loftus we all know. So, and all of a sudden, people are taking a pause and going, there's another player that I hadn't really thought about. So I guess it'll always be a lot of deep debate. There'll oftentimes be a lot of negativity, which we absolutely welcome. Have at it. It's all part of it. But at the same time, you know, it's all about the football on the field, how this team performs, and how they performed in the second half has given people just a smidgen of hope with a lot of caution.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about this, you know, being a supporter, being a good supporter, whatever, like being a supporter isn't national service. You know, you're not obliged to do it. And if you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it. You know, nobody is forcing anybody from Mayo to be a Mayo supporter. And if you think back to 2011, particularly 2011, very, very small Mayo attendance at that Connacht final. Full disclosure, Rob, I wasn't there myself. I think I was on my holidays that day. A very, very small crowd. At the famous victory over Cork in the All-Ireland quarterfinal that year. So you know, it took a while for that support to build up and become the massive group that came in the later years. So, yeah, so look, it doesn't, you know, the team isn't guaranteed that support. And I think you're right. I think the team has to deserve the support to some degree. So I think people are voting with their feet. I don't think they particularly like the style of play, and that's fair enough. No, but also they are picking and choosing, and we've seen that from last year. And there are cost of living issues and all that. And there are too many bloody games. Apart from, you know, the thing
which
is
don't like all have a lot of meaning at times.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. But also, you see, before the league, you know, it was. The league is still too rushed, I think, but at least there was downtime between the league and the championship. And now, you know, the championship is welded onto the end of the league, so there's no downtime at all. And now the weather is finally getting good, and people are saying, "I have other things to be doing. I won't go to this one, but I go to that one." And as you say, there's no jeopardy in these anyway, so I might hang on and I'll go later on, and that's okay too, you know. But I do see where Kevin is coming from, because from his point of view, he's the manager. We're going to Pier Stadium. We want as much of a roar out of our crowd as the Galway crowd will get for their efforts. So I can see where he's coming from. But as I said, this isn't a military call up. you know, people can still pick and choose what they do.
Brilliantly summed up. This week's podcast coming up on your feed, patreon.com/Mayo Podcast. Mike Finnerty, Edwin McGarrigle and Ger Flanagan getting together for a chat, looking at the game from a few different angles. Yeah, we very much turned the focus onto the football as we did in the Final Whistle podcast with our duo who you heard from earlier, Colm and Lee. So we will continue that into the following week. Big build up in the Connacht Championship. I'll have to see if Barry Cullinan's around. I'm sure he is. I mean, we can't not talk to him.
Our favourite Galway man. We have to, Barry, because look at, I such respect for Barry, because I can't remember which one time it was after we beat them and he fronted straight up afterwards. You know, he didn't, there's no hiding.
Remember,
Barry,
Limerick was one of those times. He came up to us to talk to us.
You get full and Barney stuff. A lot of people don't like what he has to say because he is no shrinking violet where it comes to talking about Galway, talking about Mayo. But I think it's great to have those perspectives. Rob, the other thing, of course, as well, and it is Galway related as well, is another upcoming pod is the Final Whistle on Friday night, which is round two for us of the minor championship from Tuam. So Mayo playing Galway in Tuam. Sadly, I won't be there. I'm usually on the minors, but I have other business to attend to back at the ranch here. But I think you're going, aren't you?
I am not, now that you put it that way. Mike is going. No, it's Mike. Okay. Mike is carrying the... But that's such a big game.
Full squad rotation, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
rotation from the last one.
The medical team have had taken a look and they've said, I just need one more day out and I'll be ready to go. That's what they're saying. Look, and it's not fibs, I'm telling you, as Kevin McStay would say in an interview.
Yeah, I got a shunt from Pádraig O'Hara on the warm up the last day, and I'm still not the right after it.
Did you think you were going to get his hat back, please? Enough of that. No, so that, and that minor game, I mean, if you want your technical stuff, is quite important. Galway drew with Sligo, not a great result for them. Then lost to Roscommon, who lost to Mayo. So they are probably in last chance saloon needing a win. That should test Mayo's mettle. They're only out in round two. It's a funny old system, but one thing we've learned from the under 20s is don't take one result and take anything for granted from it, because you just don't know what's around the corner. And that's the way it works with Mayo as well. Yeah. Every second week we're going to have games now for a little while. Let's hope that leads to some real good fun and a bit of a buzz going around the side, not least because it's just more people to listen to podcasts and more people to interact with when we're at games. We'll be there on the terrace in Pearse Stadium on Sunday at 4 o'clock Sunday week as you listen to this. In the meantime, John, we'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon, Rob.
Thanks, folks. Patreon.com/Mayo Podcasts. Sign up. €1 a week. Where would you go?